weeks, a couple of months, really focusing on the person and work of the Holy Spirit in our services. And we finished that series, and then last week was our Day of Hope. And I felt with all the destruction that's come with hurricanes and earthquakes and all that, all the storms that all the newscasts have kind of focused on, I thought, well, maybe we need to focus on storms a little bit, because we know about tornadoes in this part of the world. I've never I've been through a tornado, haven't been through a hurricane, but I've been through some other kind of storms in my life. I've had a few along the way. And although the weather may be fine outside today, the truth is that some of you may be going through the worst storm of your life as you sit here in this congregation this morning. Jesus knew something about storms. He went through a few of them, physical storms as well as spiritual and emotional kinds of storms that raged against him as the enemy tried to stop him and defeat him. And so I think there's some lessons we can learn from him as we look at his life as he encountered a storm. So turn to Mark chapter 4. Over the years, we've preached from these passages lots of times, but we'll see what else we can glean from them today. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, it says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Church tradition says that Mark wrote his gospel, the Gospel of Mark, based on the preaching and the recollection of Peter. Peter was on board the ship when this happened in Mark 4. And so we know kind of the validity and the historicity of this because Peter was likely the source for Mark. By Mark's account, it had been a day full of teaching. And Matthew kind of tells this same story. Matthew indicates that Jesus had been healing the sick. There were some miracles that happened along the western side of the Sea of Galilee. And so all this had been going on. And now, at the end of the day, Jesus is exhausted from all the ministry. He sends the people away. And then he said to the disciples, "Let's go over to the other side, to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee." It's important that we remember that first verse that Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side," because somewhere along the way, it looks like the disciples kind of forgot that he said that. And we tend to forget that he said that in the midst of a storm. So I want you to keep that in mind, and we'll come back to it later, that Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side." Mark tells us that suddenly then a storm came up, a furious squall, he calls it. Storms come suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. There's a mountainous pass. When you're on the Sea of Galilee, you can look to the west, which is actually that direction, but you can look to the west and you see the pass right there. The mountains kind of go up and there's a pass that comes through that goes all the way to the Mediterranean. It can be as just calm as glass on the Sea of Galilee. And then in the afternoon or evening, all of a sudden, the wind kind of comes off the Mediterranean, comes through that pass, and suddenly a storm can come up and the sea can go from very calm to dangerous in a short amount of time. Matthew's account of this event, I think it's Matthew 8, somewhere along in there, Matthew says the storm came without warning. So there was no warning about it. You know, one place Jesus says you can tell from the sky, the color of the sky, whether there's going to be stormy weather. You have an indication from it, but there was no warning this time. Just all of a sudden, the storm came up. Kind of sounds like the way life happens, doesn't it? Without warning, things change. Unexpectedly, storms come into our life. I mean, you go to bed and everything's fine, and you wake up in the morning and find out that life has changed forever, unexpectedly. You leave for work and you're thinking, man, everything's good and my job is great, and boy, everything's come together. And before your coffee break, the boss calls you in and tells you they're having to cut back and they're making some changes and you're out of a job and you didn't see it coming. It was without warning, but all of a sudden everything changes. Or the doctor's office calls and the test results came back and they're sorry to tell you there's nothing that they can do, that there's no cure for this. And without warning, it's like the wave swamps the boat and everything changes. Some of you know what I'm talking about this morning. A phone call or a knock at the door in the early morning hours, a police officer standing out there to tell you that your world as you know it has just changed forever. Without warning, a storm comes. In verse 37, Mark says that waves broke over the boat and it was nearly swamped. It wasn't a huge boat. If you go to Israel with us in a couple of years, we'll take you to Gennesaret, where there's a place there where they found a 2,000-year-old boat that they've kind of nicknamed the Jesus boat. But it may in fact be just the kind of boat that Jesus was in, enough room for 10 or 12 fellows and even room for somebody to be asleep in the stern of it. And they've got the actual boat there. So it was not a huge boat and it was nearly swamped. Everybody knows what it means. We use that word as, boy, I'm just swamped at work. I can't make it. I'm swamped. It just means to be overwhelmed, that stuff's just kind of crashing in. You're just overcome by something. Most of us have been swamped by something, and maybe you haven't been swamped in a storm by waves, but you've been swamped by life, or you've been swamped by fear, or you've been overwhelmed by guilt, or you've been overwhelmed by anxiety, or overwhelmed by your loss or grief. And this storm came suddenly, and it was alarming and frightening. And in spite of the fact that the majority of people on board that boat were experienced fishermen that had grown up on the Sea of Galilee and that made their livelihood fishing from boats on that sea, all of a sudden they were helpless to do anything in that kind of storm. All their experience wouldn't alter the outcome. They were doing everything they knew to do, and the boat was being swamped by the waves, and there was nothing else they could do. I've got to tell you, I'm not a fan of large bodies of water. Grand Lake's one thing, and I'm happy to go out on your boat with you for a little bit or whatever, but I'm not a lake person. I like to know what's underneath me, what's drifting by and stuff. So that's not necessarily my deal. I've never been on a cruise. We've talked about it. Paula, I think, would like to go. She likes the sun and all that, and that'd be perfect. And if somebody wants to take her, I'd be happy for them to go. But it's just, I know some of you love it and you go often, and I'm glad that you can. And boy, I love your pictures and it looks like a great time. But you know why I don't want to go is because you're out of control. You're helpless out there. You're on a great big boat, ship, whatever it is, and you got nowhere to go. So storms can come and there's nowhere to run. You're a sitting duck. You're one of 1,000 people on it's a little dot out in the middle of the ocean out there. And when they say, well, you know what, here's something I don't want to ever do. When they say, we're just going to have to hunker down. I don't ever want to hunker down. All right. I'm not built for hunkering. I don't even know what that is. So I don't want to do that. All right. I want to be able to flee. I don't want to hunker. I want to get out of there. If you tell me we've got a helicopter and we can sail out of here, that's great. But I don't want to be hoisted. There's another thing I don't want to be. Roy, are you with me, buddy? I don't want to be hunkered or hoist out of something. That doesn't sound right to me. So that's not how I want to do this. But there you are. You're sitting on this boat and all you can do, you're just a sitting duck. You're just waiting and hoping. I want options. All right. I need more options than just being on a boat. I remember years ago, Paula and I had gone to Africa. We were in Niger and they wanted to take us out to onto this river, and they were going to take us out to an island out in the middle of the river, and we were going to have lunch. And I didn't really need lunch that bad. You know, it was not. It was kind of different. Whether they passed the thing and I kind of went, boy, I'm just going to stir this up, make it look like I took a big piece of that. But the thing was, they put us in, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, they put us in literally a dugout canoe. I mean, literally, right? Bill, you've been there. Literally a dugout canoe. They got in and they said, we're going to look for hippos. They said it like we're like at the zoo. That's a good thing. Hey, we're going to look for hippos. And so looking for hippos is different than looking out for hippos. because they said we want to look for hippos, but then at the same time, we need to look out for the hippos because they'll come up underneath the boat and dump it over. And I already knew I didn't want to be in that water unexpectedly. Here's another hunkered hoist, and I don't want to have a journalist say ill-fated in any connection with the trip that I'm on. And I could just see this being ill-fated, you know, just sit right back and you'll hear it there. That's where I thought we were going. And so I want to be where I'm kind of in control, where I can get to land, where so I'm happy to just pretty well stay on dry land as opposed to being out here. Well, the disciples were in trouble. They couldn't run. There was nowhere to turn. They couldn't get to shore. There was nowhere to go. He said, well, they could row. Well, oars weren't doing any good in a furious storm where waves were swamping the boat. They were stuck. They were trapped. They were powerless against this storm. Overwhelmed. Mark says the waves nearly swamped the boat. Peter had said, we're in a tight spot, boys, and they were trying to figure out what to do. And maybe you know the feeling of what it's like to be swamped and overwhelmed and desperate in your circumstances, and there's just not any answers. You just can't find the way off the boat. You can't get out, and you can't get under. You can't hunker down, and it's just wind, and it's just constantly waves and storm relentlessly coming at you. And Peter recalls this detail to Mark, that there was a cushion in the stern of the boat and under the seats, and that's where Jesus was, and that Jesus was so exhausted from the ministry that he was sleeping through the storm. And Peter remembered, we woke him up. How could anybody sleep through that kind of storm? And we see kind of the humanity of Jesus, that he's so physically exhausted that he can sleep on that boat through a storm. But we also see his divinity in the story as he stands up and calms the wind and the waves and settles everything down. But Peter woke Jesus up. Don't you care if we drown? I don't know that the disciples were asking Jesus to perform a miracle. They may have just been saying, Jesus, it's all hands on deck and we know you're tired, but everybody's bailing water. And if you don't help us, I mean, two more hands are going to make a difference. So come on, don't you care what's happening? Get up, help us bail water or we're going to drown. And Jesus got up and instead of asking for a pail to bail with, he spoke to the storm, quiet, be still. And it became completely calm. Thought about that. We say that to our kids, hush, be still, and they don't respond. But Jesus could speak to the universe and command it to be calm, and the sea calmed down. Amazing authority and power over the forces of nature itself. And then it says in verse 41 that when the storm ended at his command, Mark said, and they were terrified. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? They'd never seen anything like that in all their experience on the Sea of Galilee. And you know what? Sometimes God acts and speaks into our life and we discover then the power of God and his authority and his purposes. And suddenly we just his will and his direction for our life and what he wants to do, that frightens us more than the storm we were in. That God has acted, he's done this and he's got a purpose behind it all. And we think, whoa, Lord, what is it you're calling me to do? What is it? What's your plan now that you've calmed the storm? And it can be a little overwhelming to us. So that's the story, but I want to walk back through it and just show you some lessons that we learn in the storm. First of all, storms are part of every life. And I want you to notice the disciples were in the will of God. They were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do when they encountered a life-threatening storm. All right. They were doing. Jesus said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. And they said, great, let's go. And doing exactly what Jesus said to do. And the storm comes. You just need to know being a Christian doesn't exempt you from storms, regardless of what somebody may have told you. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4, don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised if storms come in your life. They just do. I don't expect them to come all the time. I'm not predicting that. I'm not, I'm not confessing that or speaking that or whatever. But what I know is that, yeah, storms are just part of life. And part of the journey of our life will be quiet and peaceful and calm. And part of it will include some storms along the way and we'll almost feel like the boat's going to be swamped. But regardless, we know we're going to get to the other side. Don't be surprised if storms come, but don't allow that to defeat you. Don't be in despair about that. Keep trusting because we're going to get to the other side. The second lesson I want you to see is that we have to take Jesus as he is. And I think any time I've preached from this portion of Scripture, I've made this point every time. What does this mean? And why did Mark include it? It says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. They took him just as he was, meaning just as he was tired and exhausted, or just as he was needing a nap, or needing a shower, or needing supper, or what does that mean? They took him the way he was, just as he was, into the boat. I don't know, but I know what I always hear when I read this portion of Scripture, that we have to take Jesus just as he is. We don't get to remake him into someone else. We can't change him. We can't try to tame him. We can't try to calm him down. We can't try to make him a little more of this or a little less of that, or a little more of something else. It doesn't work that way. We don't get to try to make him into our image or make him more like us. We can't make him more Assembly of God or more Baptist or more Methodist or more Catholic or more Pentecostal. We can't make him more conservative or more liberal or more American or more, you know, global or more inclusive or more exclusive. He is who he is. He is who the Word of God reveals him to be, and we have to take him as he is, all right? Now, here's the thing about that. When we do that, I'm going to tell you, Jesus will upset you. And I realize we want to take the rough edges off. We want to do that with all the Bible stories. Let's just try to clean all that up where it doesn't sound as rough. But some of those stories are kind of rough. And Jesus will upset the apple cart. He did it all the time. He's an iconoclast. He breaks things that we try to make into icons. Well, that's who he is. And so we have to take him as he is. And when we do, he'll upset you. He'll also comfort you. And he'll inspire you, but he'll frustrate you. I got a feeling those guys on the boat were a little frustrated. That's why they woke him up. Don't you care? Get up and do something. He frustrated them a good bit. Listen to what I'm telling you this morning. He wants to save you. That's the reason he came. He didn't just come to give you a doctrine on how to, you know, be a better citizen, on all that. You ought to be a better citizen because you know Jesus. But he came to save us from our sins, to change us from a sinner to a saint. He didn't come to make you comfortable. He came to make you conformable to his image, to his word, to his will, to his life. That's what he came to do. He hasn't come to make you feel better about yourself. He hasn't come to boost your self-esteem. He hasn't come to make you feel more at ease about the choices you make in your life. He's come to redeem you from your sin and your selfishness. He's come to lead you to take up a cross and follow him all the way into eternity and along the journey he's prepared for you. But you have to take him as he is. And part of that journey, part of taking him as he is, likely includes sailing through some stormy waters along the way. And it'll almost swamp the boat, but you're going to make it to the other side if you'll lean on him and trust him and have faith in him in the process. He's going to take you there. Here's the third lesson. We're halfway there, more than halfway. In spite of sudden storms and helpless conditions, never forget that Jesus is in the boat. Remember his promise that he would never leave us or forsake us. He hasn't left you in the storm. He didn't leave you out there in the boat. He didn't say, guys, I'm out of here. Good luck. And so here we are, we're kind of shouting, Jesus, where are you? Don't you know what's happening? I'm being swamped by the waves in the water. I'm perishing in the storm. What, don't you care? But the reality is he's with us in the storm. He's on board with you. And because he's on board with you, you've got no reason to panic. And this is what you need to remember, what he said to the disciples at the beginning of our story. Remember I said, don't forget this, because sometimes we do. Don't forget that Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. The indication was, if Jesus said it, we can believe it and expect it. We're going to get to the other side. Yeah, but a storm's come up. Yeah, but Jesus said, let's go to the other side. We're going to get there. You can count on it. We're not going down. We're going to the other side. We're going to arrive at our destination because Jesus said so. Now listen to what I'm telling you this morning. Sometimes in the middle of the storm, in our fear and in our panic, we can't see Jesus and we forget what he told us. We forget what he said when we started out. We forget his promise, and the storms and the wind and the waves distract us and frighten us, and we're cold and we're wet and we're shivering and we're feeling hopeless and helpless, and we forget that Jesus said, I won't leave you and I won't forsake you and I'll go with you all the way, essentially to the other side. So I ask you this morning, look at your own circumstances and how you're dealing with the storm that you're in. Have you forgotten His word to you? Have you forgotten His promise to you? Have you forgotten His call to you, His instruction to you? Have you forgotten what He said about if you'll live your life for Him, how He was going to provide for you and your family? Remember what He said. Stay on board with Him. Stay close to Jesus, because He's going to the other side and He won't leave you in the midst of the storm. It's interesting to me. Mark says there were other boats with Him. And notice the way he says that. They took him, talking about the disciples. They took Him along just as He was in the boat. And then it says there were also other boats with Him. It doesn't say there were other boats with them. They took Him, the disciples, but then when it speaks of those other boats, it says, but they were with Him. I think those guys were saying, we don't care who else is on that boat, we want to be with Him. We want to be with Jesus, because if He's going to get to the other side and we're with Him, we're going to get there. He's going to take us there. We can trust Him. It's going to be all right. I want to be as close to Jesus as I can get, because I know He's going to the other side. I want to be with Him. So they were with Jesus, because that's the best place to be in a storm. Listen, it doesn't matter that He's asleep in the boat. He's in the boat. It's going to be all right. I remember somebody saying they'd gone on a plane one time and Oral Roberts was on the plane, and they kind of went, "Whoa, boy, everything will be all right now. You know, Oral Roberts is on the plane. I know it's not going down." So nobody ever says that if I'm on there. But anyway, you know, you kind of look around like, okay, there's a good chance we're going to make it. The right people are on here somehow or another. And so Jesus was, He was asleep, but hey, He's on the boat. It's going to be okay. He was asleep because He was tired, but I don't think that's the only reason. I think the reason He could sleep through the storm was because He knew there was no reason to fear. The storm wasn't going to stop them. It was just going to be something to maybe change course a little bit or slow them down. It was going to maybe redirect them to exactly where they needed to be. Jesus is like, we're fine. We're not going to drown. I said we're going to the other side. I haven't changed the destination. Trust me, we're still going to get to the other side. Stay with me. Stick close. Because we're going to the other side. And friends, it may not look like it to you. It may not look like it to others around you. And the waves may be enormous. And the winds may be hurricane force. And the boat may be swamped. And you're sitting there in pain this morning. And you may be wet and cold. But don't despair. Jesus is still on board. He's with you. He's going to see that you get where you're going to the other side. And it's going to be all right. You can trust Him. Amen. Amen. You can applaud that. Yeah. All right. Here's the fourth lesson. Don't doubt His concern for you in the midst of the storm. The disciples woke Him up questioning His concern for them. Don't you care if we drown? Well, of course He cares about you. Listen, storms don't mean Jesus has stopped caring about us. And the point is not about the level of His concern or what's obvious about it. The point is about our doubt and fear. Jesus said to them, why are you guys so afraid? You still don't have any faith? You still didn't trust that what I said was going to happen, that we were going to get to the other side? You don't have to be afraid of this. It's not about whether He loves us. Of course He does. He gave His life for us. The point ought to be about our doubt and fear. And just because you're frightened doesn't mean Jesus should be. All right? You can't get Him to step into your fear. Come on, Jesus, pace the floor with me. You know, He's there with you, but He doesn't have to panic. And He doesn't need for us to panic either. And just because we're disillusioned by life doesn't mean that Jesus has stopped caring. It means we're not seeing things from heaven's perspective. But it doesn't mean that the truth has stopped being the truth. It doesn't mean that God is going to stop honoring His word. It means we just can't see right now what we need to see because the wind and the waves are so strong against us. But you know what the truth is? What they needed to see? You know what they needed to know? They didn't need better weather forecasting equipment or better instruments to measure wind velocity or predict storms. They didn't need a better boat or better sails or even better sailors. They were looking for the shoreline. That's what they were hoping to see, thinking, boy, if we could just see land up there through the lightning flashes. But all they really needed to know and all they really needed to see was right there in the stern of the boat on a cushion sleeping. All they needed to know and see was that Jesus was with them in the storm. I know you're looking for answers today. You're looking for direction. You're looking for hope. You're looking for a word. You're looking for a sign of some kind. What you need to know is Jesus hadn't climbed out of the boat with you yet. Now, you may have climbed out. You may have gone AWOL or AWOL. W over the boat or whatever. But he's still where he was. All right. He's still in the boat, and he's going to take us to the other side. I don't know what the outcome of the storm is going to be for you, but I know who's with you in the storm, and that's what matters. In this story in Mark 4, Jesus calmed the wind and the waves, settled it all down. There's another time we may talk about it in part next Sunday morning when they were in another storm. Jesus was up on shore and he came walking on the water and he was going to pass them by. He knew they weren't going to drown. He was just going to let them, thought they needed the exercise. I don't know why, but he was going to pass them on by, and they saw him, thought it was a ghost, and that's next Sunday's sermon. In another time, a storm in Acts 27 and 28, Paul's on board a ship that for days they couldn't even, it looked like night all the time. They were going to perish, but God said to him, I'm with you. I'm on board. An angel of the Lord stood with you. And Paul gets up in front of the captain and everybody and says, an angel of the Lord stood with me and told me that if we'll just stick with this, we're all going to make it. Not one life's going to be lost. Now, they ended up spending a little time bobbing in the ocean before the Lord put them on the island of Malta. But he had an assignment there to preach to the governor of that island nation. I don't know what the outcome's going to be for you, but I know who will be with us. And whether he calms it or whether he takes you through the storm or whether we spend a little time getting acquainted with sea life or however it's going to work out, he's going to be with us and he's going to get us to our destination. Don't panic. Don't give up. Keep trusting and he's going to get us there. And then one final thought and then we're done. But I believe in the storm you can expect Jesus to exceed expectations. Now, what were the expectations the disciples had when they woke him up? I referenced this earlier. The fact that the last verse says they were terrified and shocked that the wind and waves obeyed him, that they actually said, who is this that even the wind and the waves obeyed him, really leads me to believe that they were not expecting him to do that when they awakened him. I don't know what they thought he would do, but I don't think it was to stand up and speak a word and everything would immediately become completely calm. Maybe they just thought he would help bail water, but instead he stopped the storm for them. He did more than what they could have dared to have expected. Now, again, they had grown up on that body of water and they'd seen a little bit of everything, but they had never seen anything like this. They end up saying, who is this? Who is this? These good Jewish boys that were fishermen, they had heard all the stories and all the legends, and they knew that only God could part waters. Only God could calm storms and seas. And when Jesus speaks it, they're saying, who is this? Maybe this is the Son of God. We know he was God in the flesh. Jesus exceeds expectations. Do you hear me? He acts in abundance. The devil has come to kill and steal and to destroy. Jesus has come to give you life and that more abundantly. He's come to do more than what you expect, more than what you think he would do or could do. He did it for the disciples, but can we expect him to help us like that? Can we expect him to calm the storms in our life? Can you expect Jesus to exceed expectations in your storm and in your circumstances? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably, you can't measure it, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now to him, read that with me, would you, out loud? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Listen, he's able to exceed your expectation. He's able to do immeasurably more, exceedingly, I think King James, exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond, more than what you can ask. One translation says, or even dream or imagine, and he does it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, friends, it doesn't matter how fierce the storm is. Jesus can exceed your expectations in the storm. He can do immeasurably more than what you can ask. He does the impossible. He exceeds expectation. He'll take us through the storm and get us safely to the other side. And he has a purpose in it all. They reach the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee in the area of the Gerasenes or Gadara, and here comes a man we know as Legion, bound by the enemy. He's desperate and he comes down and Jesus casts the demons out of that man and sets him free. There was a reason and purpose behind it all. There was a destination to bring hope to somebody else. Listen to what I'm telling you. He's going to get you where you need to be. He's going to bring you to a place where His purposes are accomplished in your life, where your destiny meets up with the need that's there, and God's going to get the glory out of it. He'll take you where He needs you to be. Just trust Him. And don't forget His promise. Don't forget His presence is with you, even in the storm. He'll be with you. And Jeff, I believe He'll exceed your expectations. Whatever you're counting on, God's going to do even more. Jesus isn't just going to be there to help you bail water. He's going to calm the wind and the waves and calm the storm down and get you to the other side. Let me tell you, the greatest mistake you can make is to underestimate Jesus. You hear what I'm telling you? The greatest mistake you can make is to underestimate Jesus. The disciples were terrified because the wind and the waves obeyed Him. They had underestimated Him. They thought He was going to give them a hand. Instead, He changed the natural course of things and calmed the wind and the waves. He's the master of the storm. And if you'll surrender to Him, I learned the word. I said I wasn't in the Navy, and an old Navy guy said, what you need to say is, you're going to give Him the helm. I was saying, just do Carrie Underwood. Jesus, take the wheel. But it's the helm. Give Him the helm. So I got it right now. Give Him the helm. He's the master of the storm. And we're just going around in circles trying to maneuver that rudder back there. And somehow, I got this, Jesus. Don't worry. And the waves are swamping and the wind's blowing. And we're going around in circles. And somebody this morning, you need to take your hands off the helm and say, Jesus, you're going to be the captain of this boat. I surrender and give my life to You. I put this in Your hands. You're going to get me safely to the other side, and it's going to be all right because I trust You, because I'm in the boat with Jesus, and I believe You're going to exceed expectations in my life. I want you to stand with me this morning. Somebody here this morning, you are in a storm today, and you've been trying to navigate this on your own. And I say it to you again, I felt so impressed with the Holy Spirit last night, that it's time to surrender control of your life to Jesus. Let Him be the captain. Let Him be at the helm of this. And He's either going to calm the storm or He's going to navigate the winds to take you where He wants you to go, where you're supposed to be, to fulfill the destiny that God has for your life. But either way, the key this morning is for you to surrender yourself to God's plan and purpose. And if you will do that, He will exceed your expectations. He's got something for you today. If you're here this morning and you've been in a storm and that word is for you, that you're supposed to take your hands off, give God the helm and let Him take you. I want you to step out and come and stand here at the front, and we're going to pray together. And this is going to be a day when I believe God is going to begin to exceed your expectation. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, if this is your first time or if you grew up here, just come on. Come on to the front, and we're going to pray together this morning. I'm believing God to exceed your expectation. Maybe it's a physical need in your body. You think, well, I don't know if God's going to heal me or not. I tell you, I'm hurting today in my back and leg and stuff, but I'm feeling better. Two sermons of this, and I'm doing better, all right? And so I'm believing God to exceed my expectation. Somebody else, you've been trapped in something. You're in a situation right now. Maybe it's a marital situation. Maybe it's something else. You're trying to make some decisions about something, and it feels like you're trapped. And you're being swamped by what's going on. I want to tell you this morning, He's going to exceed your expectation. He's got victory coming for you. He's got something extraordinary going to happen for you. You're going to have to trust Him. You're going to have to take your hands off of the wheel. Just let Him take control of it. Would you do that today? Right there. You that have come, and others may need to come on and join us. But just begin to kind of take your hands off and just put it in His hands right now. Lord, I surrender this to You. I'm taking my hands off the wheel, Lord. I'm stepping out of the helm, and you're gonna be at the helm of my life. You're taking control, Lord. And I don't know exactly where You're gonna take me. I don't know exactly where You're gonna launch us, what You're gonna do, but Lord, I can trust You today. I can trust You for victory. I can trust You for healing. I can trust You for deliverance. I can trust You to do what no other power can do. I can trust You to make the difference. I can trust You, Lord, that when we decide to serve You and live for You, Lord, when I stop trying to figure it out, and when I put it in Your hands, You're going to take me safely to the other side, and it's going to be all right, Lord. You've got a way for me. You're going to make a way where there doesn't even seem to be a way, Lord. You're going to provide for me in ways that I couldn't have known before. You're going to exceed my expectation, Lord. Oh, Jesus, come do it. Come to us this morning. Stretch your hands toward our friends this morning that are here. Lord, I'm praying for victory to come for our friends that are here today. I'm praying, Lord, you would come and exceed expectations for our friends today. Come and exceed their expectation. Come and bring healing. Come and bring deliverance. Come and bring hope to them today. Come and heal bodies that are broken and hurting, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, we take our hands off of it because we're going to get it in a mess if we keep doing this. We're going to trust you, Lord, and you're going to straighten it out. You're going to fix what's broken. You're going to mend and repair. You're going to heal and deliver. You're going to rescue us today. You're going to rescue us today, Lord. We're in a storm today, but you're a deliverer. You're a strong right hand. You take the helm, Lord, and take us where you want us to be. You come, Lord. Take the helm of our lives. Take the helm of our marriage. Take the helm, Lord. Take control, Lord. And you come and do what you need to do. Come accomplish your purposes for us today, Lord. Oh, God, I believe you to do immeasurably more. I pray for more, Lord. I pray that you exceed our expectation today. We've got an idea, Lord, but I think your will and your purpose and your plan will exceed our expectation, Lord. It doesn't mean wealth or fame or something else. It just means, Lord, that you've got even more than what we can imagine, Lord. There's something new, Lord. Oh, God, as we put it in your hands, I believe you to release back into our hands, Lord, what we need to be everything you're calling us to be, to accomplish what you've set for us to do, to be the people you've called us to be. To be the man, to be the woman you've called us to be the student you've called us to be, Lord. There's more for us as we respond in obedience to you, Lord. There's more for us. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Come accomplish your purposes in us. Come exceed our expectations today, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray you'll calm the storm. For some, they've just been swamped, Lord. They've been bailing water as hard and as fast as they know how to do it. But Lord, they're still not gaining any ground. There's no place to run. There's no other place to turn. And so here we are, Lord. Here we are, wet and cold and chilled to the bone and no way out of a storm. And we're saying, Lord, I've tried. I've done everything I know to do. And I can't seem to get it right. I can't seem to make it right. And so I take my hands off the wheel. I step out of the helm. Lord, here, you take it, Lord. You take it. I surrender my life to you today. And I believe you to come and do what nobody else can do. Exceed our expectations. Complete, Lord. Complete what we've been just tinkering at, Lord. Come and put the pieces together, Lord. Take the brokenness and make it right, Lord. Isadobo kutuba. Eshubrama katubeke sipa yekuramaha. Neste bahasato ko yepa shinarobokote bekera ikanalamo kupo rebekisita ma ki breko meste brakisola makataye.
He never makes a mistake. He always guides us in truth. And we can rely upon his decisions for our lives. We must come to the place that we can lay our lives down and trust the wisdom of God who created us in his likeness and we became a living soul. So he's in the boat today and know that he's capable and that he'll see you through the storm that you're in today. For the storm in your life came to pass. It did not come to stay.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you by the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit through tongues and interpretation of tongues. You speak to us today to encourage us. That the storms have come, Lord, but they've come to pass. We're just going to sail on through, Lord. They haven't come to stay in our lives. You're bringing deliverance. Let me tell you, I said earlier in the message that Jesus didn't come to make us comfortable. He came to make us conformable. But let me tell you, when you get your life surrendered to Jesus and begin to pursue Him and living for Him and serving Him, there's something that happens. There's a peace that comes. There's a knowledge and a comfort that comes that you just know, I finally got this right. I finally got this right. I read something this morning, a favorite writer named Frederick Buechner said, that it's talking about the call of Jesus. And you finally just decide, he's talking about Matthew, the tax collector. And he said, it's finally deciding, I'm gonna say I'm all in and I'm going to live for Jesus. He said, and it's the kind of response that makes you stand up from your tax collector's desk and you just lay the pencil down. You don't even pick your jacket up off the back of the chair. You don't even finish filling out the rest of the form. You know, you don't even finish drinking your cup of coffee. You just say, that's it. I'm going with Jesus. And you get up and walk on. And what I'm telling you is, when you decide that you're going to let your life be made conformable to the image of Christ, whether you're in a boat, in a storm, whether you're sitting at a tax collector's desk or whatever it is, when you finally make that decision, Lord Jesus, I want to be like you, there's something that changes. You're willing to walk away. You're willing to say goodbye, because you know what you're leaving behind is just a mess anyway. And you're going to start following Jesus and living for Him and serving Him. And there is something that begins to happen. Lord, I finally, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been looking for. I thought this was going to be rough. And boy, now things are starting to calm down because my life is being made conformable to the image of Christ. I'm finally getting in alignment with what He's wanted for me my whole life. And things begin to fall into place. I believe that for somebody today. He wants to turn it around. And when you do that, when you surrender it all to Him, finally, He's going to exceed your expectation. You trust Him and you watch and you see, and it'll blow your mind, all right? It'll be beyond what you could have thought, imaginable, or possible. Hallelujah. Immeasurably more than all we could ask or even imagine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to God this morning. Lord, I thank You that You meet us here. And even in a storm, You're with us today. And we can give You thanks, because I believe, Lord, there's going to be some smooth water ahead for us. You're going to bring us to that place You have for us. Let it be in Jesus' mighty name. Go in His good mercy and grace. Know that the hand of God is upon you. And watch Him exceed your expectations. Amen.